You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome back, wrestling fans, one and all. It is Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of pro wrestling news and commentary. Bunch of smart marks, a bunch of awesome fans listen to this show every single week, and we appreciate you tuning in, liking and subscribing our YouTube feed and our iTunes feed and listening to us on Stitcher and TuneIn and all that good stuff. Brought to you by the Weeby Geeks Network of Podcasts. My name is Aljon Go, lifelong wrestling fan, alongside the man, the wrestling historian, the mark for Steve Blackman. No, I'm just joking. Steve Williams.
It's no problem from Steve Blackman and from me.
Steven Anthony joining us on the show with the glove of injustice, the heel commentator. How are you doing this week, sir?
I'm doing great. Trying to think of the best Steve Blackman matches.
Good luck with that.
The Shane match.
What's that?
The Shane match was good.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You're right. I totally forgot about that.
He liked Blackman so much, he fell off a 500-foot scaffold for him.
That's right.
Now that's a mark.
That's a mark. That's a huge mark. Once again, we appreciate you tuning in and liking, subscribing our show. As I mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter at Poot Wrestling Cast. Also, do the social media thing on Facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Cast. And this, of course, is being broadcast over Google Plus Hangouts and on YouTube. So we appreciate that. Couple of housekeeping news. Once again, we love the fact that you listen every single week. We would love for you to support our show. If you love what we're doing, you love the fact that Steven and I come at you free with great insight into the world of professional wrestling, just as fans from the fan perspective, we want you to visit our website at prowrestlingcast.com, and you can click and support the show by not only downloading, subscribing to our show, but also if you shop on Amazon like I do. I bought a brand new mic stand this week, so I've got Hey Look 2. When Steven comes over and does the podcast, we got two awesome mics.
All right.
These are brand new neat microphones. They're killer. We got another mic stand here for Steven to do the show, and you can get your mic stand. You can get all kinds of fun stuff as well, not just mics and gear for your studio, not just microphones, but it's Amazon, so you can get batteries, you can get wrestling memorabilia, WWE replica belts. And not only does Amazon work, and it doesn't cost you any more. It just kicks back a little extra to the show so that we can continue to do some free content for you, the wrestling fans. But also, click on our affiliates. You know, Marvel's Ant-Man is coming out, a great motion picture, great live action film. Maybe you saw Jurassic Park, or you're going to see Jurassic Park again. What you want to do is click on our Fandango link right there at prowrestlingcast.com. And once again, sign up to be part of the Fandango Club and get all kinds of great offers and discounts, and every bit helps our show when you click on that link to buy your movie tickets. Last but not least, we also have highspots.com. And Highspots, you know, we talk about shoot videos, and last week we were talking a little bit about Vince Russo and the awesome commentary that he does trying to justify his booking throughout his time at WCW and WWEF.
13 months of booking to justify in WCW.
Yeah. So that's a long. Yeah. How about that new blood angle?
That could have worked if done. Well, never mind.
Yeah, we'll save that for another show. But we want you to make sure you if you like shoot videos, you like wrestling memorabilia as well, just click the link for High Spots. They have wrestling masks. They've got wrestling gear. Hell, you could even buy a wrestling ring if you wanted to. And you can do that through highspots.com and our very special link. So just visit, once again, your one-stop shop. Bookmark the page at prowrestlingcast.com and click on our banner for high spots and tell them Pro Wrestling Cast sent you.
This Week in Wrestling News.
We are back once again for more great news and commentary this week. We had a lot of stuff going on in the world of WWE, Ring of Honor, and TNA. And to cut through all the mucky muck, we are here talking about the headline news for this week. Mr. Stephen Anthony, we're going to be talking about the Beast from the East event from this past 4th of July weekend, WWE and Brock Lesnar taking over the Land of the Rising Sun. Well, also,
I think yeah, that's a Dokken album. I think it was in the East.
Oh, okay. You're right. I am a big mark for Don Dokken, so nobody rocks like nobody's rocking like Don Dokken. So
hey, George Lynch can play, man.
Absolutely, he can play. He's a, and I've met him. He's really cool. You know,
is he still shredded?
He is shredded. He is so shredded and very tan, George Lynch.
Yes. Yeah. Shredding and shredded.
I met him years ago at a trade show, and he was like, "Hey, Aljon, what's up, man?" I said, "Hey," and I said, "I just want to let you know I'm a big fan." Sure. He was doing a signing. I said, one of my favorite guitar solos he ever did was Heaven Sent. And he was like, "Oh, I don't even remember how to play it. I got to play it with Michael Anthony Van Halen tonight at the club. I'm glad you reminded me." And I'm like, he played it off like he was a space cadet. Man, he's got so many chops, man. Mr. Scary is still a great shredding song, but this is not the shred cast. This is a pro wrestling cast.
You don't want to talk about Lynch Mob or?
Oh, we can talk about Lynch Mob. That's fine. Steven and I are both guitarists after all. As you can tell, I have a bunch of guitars behind me, but if you're watching this on YouTube, but we have that Brock Lesnar show, Beast from the East, or Beast in the East, and we also will be talking about a little bit WWE Raw. We've got some interesting stuff going on for Ring of Honor as well as TNA, maybe a lot of news going down.
Yeah.
Let's first talk about this. We are fans of wrestling podcasts. I'm going to throw this out there real quick. This week you said, "Aljon, listen to Woo Nation with Ric Flair with Kevin Sullivan." Now, Kevin Sullivan not only is a great worker, has a huge history in Florida wrestling.
Great booker,
great mind for the business. A lot of awesome angles Kevin Sullivan did prior to working for WCW. I remember him working for WCW, and it wasn't until later that I dug back and learned about him working with Dusty Rhodes and all the great Southern wrestling talent.
Oh yeah,
which to me was just so incredible. You know, between working in Mid-South, some of my favorite stuff came from Florida as well as Mid-Atlantic, but definitely Florida was awesome. What a great territory.
Great heat.
But you said, check it out. And literally, you know, after I finished a couple podcasts, I popped in Moon Nation with Ric Flair, which is a killer podcast. And I said, "Is Ric drunk?"
Maybe.
I mean, what? Not only was Ric drunk, but Kevin, I believe, was drinking, and the co-host with Ric was drinking. I'm like, oh my gosh!
I got that poor guy drunk. You know, it made him stay up all night.
And then I think that was the same week that went in Dusty Rhodes tribute too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, I think this is what happened. I think they did the Dusty Rhodes special was after Raw 10:05 or 10:10. Mm-hmm. It was basically the Four Horsemen and Michael Hayes just telling some cool Dusty stories. And I had the feeling, because I know he records his podcast on Tuesday, probably in the afternoon. I had a feeling he stayed up all night partying with the Four Horsemen and then recorded the podcast the next morning still drunk. I swear that's what he did. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but it felt like that a little bit.
It did. And I feel that podcast is a perfect addendum to watching the WWE Dusty Rhodes special with the Four Horsemen. Yeah. And we'll talk about that special in a moment. But the fact that Ric was so just loosened up.
Loose.
He was so loose. I mean, and you know, Ric, as he grows older in age, like a fine wine, he starts talking, and you know, his speech is slurring so much in the show. So entertaining.
Rick threw a lot of disses out. He said Mark Miro couldn't work. Said
honky tonk
man couldn't work. He revealed what he had seen in the shower. of Kevin Sullivan and his foreskin.
And this, by the way, this show is live and uncensored, everybody. So just so you know,
I say this
in the show notes all the time, but you know, we just let shit fly. So
I didn't realize he was, you know, the first couple of shows, he was like, I don't want to curse because I know the kids listen to this. And the guy, what's his name? Conrad.
Yeah.
Conrad's like, oh, you know, we can curse if we want to podcast. And he's like, no. And in this one, he was just totally, when he started talking, I thought, oh, I think he's drunk. Like, I immediately thought he was drunk.
Yeah.
But he's a good drunk. He holds it well and he's funny. And as the show goes on, Conrad reveals he was drunk.
What the hell? What the hell, man? You're supposed to be straight. Who's going to be keeping...
Somebody's got to take control of the show.
Yeah, who's keeping tabs on these shenanigans, Conrad? Come on, buddy. Conrad's an old radio guy, so I should contact Conrad, because I've been connecting with a bunch of my old radio friends over the past few days, and it seems like... I don't know him personally, but since we are brothers in the industry, I figured I'd reach out. So, Conrad, if you're listening to the show, I want to say you're welcome to come on Pro Wrestling Cast and talk about working with Rick on Rue Nation. And by the way, feel free to bring Rick with you, because have a lot to talk about with the 16 times your world heavyweight champion.
Just keep Rick away from my young wife, if you don't.
She's not in the picture right now. It's all right. Just keep her away, out of frame.
Rick, you won't be seeing her. You won't be able to put her. He told one story about getting a girl fired because he gave her $200 to show her chest to Kevin Sullivan at a bar, and then the guy fired her, and she said, you got to help me out. And he said, well, you know, maybe I could put you on Social Security. Maybe I can put you on welfare. It depends on how things go tonight. When he said that, I'm like, boy, this dude is drunk. That's a crazy thing to say, you know. Maybe I'll put you on Social Security. Good line.
You know what? He's still sharp as a whip, that Ric Flair. He's sharp I love as it. Whip,
all right. But we learned a lot about Kevin Sullivan's penis. And his booking, and you know, I'm one for watching awful matches now on the network, and I saw one of the worst matches I've seen in a long time. It was Kevin Sullivan against David Sullivan.
Oh, geez.
Chance, it's garbage. I wanted to tell you this too, since we're talking about awfulness. The worst match I might have ever seen. It was on the Clash of the Champions, and there was the Clash of the Champions where the Black Scorpion turned a man into a tiger, which is effective.
Very effective, yes.
Right before that, they had Sid Vicious, kind of rookie Sid Vicious, against the Night Stalker, which is Brian Clark or Wrath or whatever you want to call him, using Chronic, or Atom Bomb.
Atom Bomb.
Yeah. Guys, look this match up and watch. It's extraordinarily bad. It's really one of the worst matches I've ever seen. The Night Stalker versus Sid Vicious, Clash of the Champions.
Two green big guys. I mean, it's like a car wreck.
There's a spot where he's going to do a bear hug to Sid, and Sid jumps into his arms like a lover almost. And they're punching each other, but I guess they don't know how to sell yet. And I don't know what's going on. It's one of the most. And then they follow it right after that with the Black Scorpion's Black Magic. And,
yeah, you know, I love that.
They do all these parlor tricks. I thought he was going to do the trick where you have the blue cup and it kind of like, you know, the ball disappears. Like, it was really that stupid.
Your little, the Dixie cup trick, you know, find the magic nut. I got your magic nut.
Black Scorpion is without a doubt one of the worst wrestling things I've ever seen. It's really hit. And Sullivan points out that he did not book that. He said that was Ole Anderson.
Yeah.
And,
Ole's not even there to defend himself, Kevin. Come on now.
I've heard Ole talk about it. Ole said it was
you're right. Ole's voice. You're right. That is Ole. That is Ole Anderson.
No, Ole said he did it to fuck with him. They said, we want something new. He's like, all right, how about Sting against the Black Scorpion? And the higher ups are like, we love it. And he's like, great. So he kind of.
He was a Black Scorpion.
I thought it would have been effective if the Black Scorpion would start singing and dancing too, instead of just magic. The magic tricks were so stupid. They're basically all illusions involving disappearing behind a curtain. Yeah. That was almost every gimmick.
Almost every gimmick. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the funny thing is that, you know, Ric Flair ended up rescuing Kevin's Ole's ass on the whole Black Scorpion gimmick.
Right. And then that night he said he was the Black, during the podcast we were just talking about, he said he was the Black Scorpion. Later that night on Starrcade in the match, and then later that night the hotel room, he was nude, dressed as the Black Scorpion. naked under the Black Scorpion garb. And anyway, the podcast is unbelievable. Everyone needs to check it out.
I mean, absolutely. Please check it out.
It's actually very informative too, in its own lucid, drunk way.
Well, one of the things I loved is the fact that you get more insight into how it was to be Kevin Sullivan as Booker of WCW in the circus that was WCW, dealing with the Hogan Bischoff camp, as well as the Kevin Nash, Scott Hall camp, as well as the Sting, Lex Luger camp, all the different, you know, the different factions that had splintered because everyone had creative control of their own character, which means that if you have creative control of your character, there is no way you can ever get shit over. You know, you can't get anyone over other than yourself. So does that, you know, the finger poke of doom was a great insight into the whole.
Yeah, he revealed Nash didn't want to do it. No one's ever known that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that. It's all revelations. There's so many revelations in that show.
Yeah. And Nash always kind of pretended like he was down with it, which I think he had to do in retrospect to not look bad. But I think he just knew Hogan was going to do it no matter what. And he went along with it. But that was the night everything changed. If you pinpoint that night and everything after and everything before, that was the night everything changed. I remember that night well. It was like, you guys are stupid.
Yeah, this is stupid.
That was the night Foley won the belt, too, and it was like it ushered in, like, oh, they can have different champions and make it work besides Undertaker and Austin, and they would do that. They'd have Foley and Rock and Angle, and they just died off. They dissipated into nothingness once that started. Anyway, great podcast. Wonderful. Yeah. I could only wish to have one that wonderful. It'd be that. They're so drunk. Well,
I think what we need to do is, you know, we need to have some of our wrestling friends on.
Yeah.
Maybe I should reach out to Chase Stevens and Paul.
Yeah.
You know, the guys from, you know, the old guys from Southern All-Star Wrestling, and have them on the show, because those guys have a lot of insights, you know, and maybe we can get a couple other wrestlers as well, you know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The news, really, let's start off with this. Let's talk a little bit about what happened with the Dusty Rhodes tribute that they had on WWE Network with the Four Horsemen. You had J.J. Dillon, you had Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and you also had another gentleman who was also pretty Southern in himself. You had Doc. So Doc was joining him. Doc Hendricks, you know. So let's talk about that show a little bit, you know.
Well, that was a good show.
Did you think about that tribute?
I liked it a lot. It was, you know, I like all those guys. I'm marks for all those guys. I'm marks for the Four Horsemen and the Freebirds and Arn Anderson and Ric Flair, not really Jerry Lawler. One interesting thing is I could tell that they don't like Jerry Lawler. It was really funny. He would try to tell a story, and they would sort of just look at him. But when they told stories about Dusty to each other, they would sort of laugh and giggle. It was really good. You know, Arn Anderson telling the funny story about Dusty said, "Get over." And that's all he told him. He's like, "Just get over." And I had a lot of fun watching the show. And, you know, Rick had to be bleeped out a couple of times. he was really funny. I love Michael Hayes. He's such a wild man to be ranked that high in his company like he is. It's really funny.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Michael Hayes, Doc Hendricks, just on the mic, just superb. He still has a great wrestling mind, and the stories that he tells, he really is a great storyteller, I believe. And but my question is to you: you picked up on the whole Jerry Lawler thing. Is there heat? I mean, we know that Jerry Lawler is a pretty much a straight edge kind of guy. He doesn't drink. He doesn't carouse. He goes straight home. Maybe it's because of that he hung in a different circle that he wasn't able to participate in the same way.
No. He's not. He was not well liked by the wrestlers for many years because of the payoffs in Memphis. And I can tell you that when they did the first King of the Ring, there's a story that he did the Royal Rumble in '93, I think was the first one.
Yeah.
And they all defecated in his crown, and so he couldn't bring it out. And then they had another show that they recorded, and they defecated in his crown again, to the point where they had literally an office memo within WWF telling the wrestlers not to defecate in his crown or they'd be punished for it. It was literally that bad. I don't know what exactly happened in Memphis. I know the Honky Tonk Man thinks, you know, he was an awful payoff man. I've heard a lot of other people say they could barely eat while they worked there. Bob Holly said he made like nothing, and, you know, a lot of guys.
That.
Yeah, Blade Runners and didn't make any money. And I just think people think he's a scam artist that took him and Jerry Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett were driving real nice cars and everybody was literally starving to death. And they would sell out that place. You know, how big is the Mid-South Coliseum? I guess it could fit 15 or 12.
Yeah.
And people just don't like him for whatever reason. And he worked his way pretty high up the food chain in WWF, WWE pretty quickly too. But he's just not liked. I won't get into other reasons that he might not be liked. But
right,
I don't know. There's some about him. There's some about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, it is kind of weird. You know, I would have thought for sure that they may have gotten Jim Ross maybe to host that panel.
No, they don't like Vince doesn't like Ross. I don't know.
Yeah, he's still selling stuff on WWEshop.com. So
hey, everybody loves Jim Ross, but Vince, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought the special.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no, I was just saying. I thought the special was done. I mean, it wasn't a high budget thing. You basically had the five people in one room together. But what I do think they miss is a table. They really need a table because I don't want to see the guys just sit around slouching over and Ric Flair just keep on trying to make sure that his socks were not coming down. I mean, dude, stay behind a table just like the old days of, you know, WWE's what was it? The Legends round tables they used to do. Legends of Wrestling. Those are so good. So just leave it at that. You know, that's the one production element that I would put in there, but
it is
to watch.
Yeah, you know? good to see all the guys. Good to see Michael Hayes. It's not easy to be an announcer, no. You know, with Lawler and all that. And that reminds me, did I tell you that they printed, you've heard this, right? They have a list of things announcers can't say.
Okay, well, that's a great segue. So you told me right before the show that you found a list. This is interesting. I haven't heard this. I haven't read this before. I've been in the radio business now for almost 20 years.
Right.
I would like to know what the wrestling announcers, and this is specifically for WWE?
Yes, by Vince McMahon.
Okay, so this is interoffice memo. Go ahead.
Terms to avoid. I'm reading this from the WrestlingObserver.com.
Okay.
You can subscribe to for $9.99 a month.
I suggest you do it. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's the best. You cannot say belt, strap, the business, our industry. Seems like I've heard people say that, huh?
Yeah.
Feud, war, performance, performer, choreographer. You cannot say house show. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You have to say
WWE live event.
Live event. That's correct.
That's right.
Backstage. You have to say in the locker room or in the back. Mm-hmm. You cannot say pro wrestler.
Nope.
We all knew that.
Yeah, you have to be a sports entertainer. Yeah.
Superstar, right.
Yeah. Or superstar.
International is not used. Instead, you must use global.
Yes.
Shot, mm-hmm. meaning like they're not a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
DQ. You have mm-hmm. to say disqualification,
mm-hmm.
babyface, blown up, shoot. Now, that makes sense because that's kayfabe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Rib, mark. You cannot say U.S. You must always say the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say hospital. You have to say medical facility. What? Yeah.
Yeah, medical facility. Yeah, you and I have said, well, if you're a keen mark, you know some of this already. But no, this is good. This is good stuff.
But you're an announcer mark, too, which is a broader type of mark.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the terminology.
I'm meaning a mark for announcers.
Well, we are critical listeners, after all.
So. We are.
So go right ahead.
Faction.
Yes.
You have to use group.
Yes.
What else is there? Hold on.
And this stuff, some of it is actually relatively new because you look at some of the specials on the network and you look at Greatest Factions. They actually have a show called Greatest Factions. And that is a new thing that they just adopted. Just like, you know, the U.S. title, they now have to, of course, refer to it as United States Championship, you know.
Correct.
Of course, no one ever refers to it as
granddaddy of the, because that Vince says that sounds like it's old.
You're right.
Okay.
Yep.
You cannot say title changing hands.
Mm-hmm.
Match of the year, which they did say the other day.
Yep. This is a contender for match of the year. They said that.
Yeah, they don't like that, but I guess they did that the other day.
They did several times. Yeah.
Stephanie wrote that Vince no longer wants a pit when an illegal action takes place. They should say the referee's vision was impaired or the referee's vision was blocked. Never use the word hatred. They should never say talent doesn't care about winning the match. Never use the word blood when someone is bleeding. Be careful of the phrase, the greatest of all time. if The Rock is wrestling Cena and you say it's the greatest rematch of all time, you could argue that point, and that might be okay. So you can rarely use that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it kind of goes on and on. And it also says the play-by-play man should never be emasculated by the broadcast partner. So,
well, so much for the emasculated by the broadcast partner. Well, you see, you know, there goes years and years of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler calling the matches, because that happened a lot. Or, you know, just look back at Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon, for example, if you want to emasculating terms. Yeah. How about that?
Jesse's one of the best ever.
Absolutely. He's the best. You know, his vocal quality is unlike any other. It's great vocal quality. And I feel the same way about Taz. Those guys are very, very unique in their delivery. Yeah. But that's great stuff. You know, the blood thing, that's new. I haven't heard that yet. And of course, we know about the belt and the strap. There was a couple other things in there that struck me as being interesting. I do understand global instead of worldwide. That is interesting.
No. It's global instead of international.
International, I see. Okay.
International is not to be used. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Well, I think they want to be consistent in terms of their branding. And that's part of what WWE does so good, is that they are global entity. When you're talking about a global reach, global this, and they want this perception, the more you utilize those words, it becomes reality. You know, WWE is a global company. And so that is how they want to be perceived. And that is a branding that they use in certain terms, you know. So, I mean, it's cool that they do that. But once again, they are kings of that branding. So interesting stuff. What struck you about this list? Exactly, you know, that you found interesting. Did you gain any knowledge that you didn't have prior?
Yeah, I kind of knew about a lot of it, but I mean, it's just Vince's brain. Like, Vince's brain works so weird. He has this complete and utter vision, and he micromanages the vision, and he always has. There's a story where Dean Ambrose on Jericho's podcast, talking about Jericho again, he said, hey, what if I want to say I'm going to kick the guy in the balls? What do I say instead of balls, Vince? And Vince tells Dean Ambrose, without missing a beat, testicles. He has a word for everything that should be used, and that's why those announcers get it. But I mean, Michael Cole has to listen to five or six people at once, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Production crew, the guy, I guess Kevin Dunn's in there, Vince McMahon, the other two broadcast partners, the crowd. It's a lot. Yeah. I don't know how he does it.
Just years and years of doing it. You know, it's funny when you look back at the Attitude Era and they just broadcast the last Attitude Era Too Hot for TV, right? With Jerry mm-hmm. Springer, which was great. Great show, by the way.
Yeah.
That, you know, Michael Cole started off as just a pimply faced backstage interviewer, just like Renee Young.
Weird dude.
Not that Renee Young is pimply faced, by all means. She is awesome.
Sure.
And probably the shiniest star to come out of, you know, announcing for years. She's great. But it's so funny to see how Michael was, especially in the interactions between Michael Cole and The Rock, or Jericho and Michael Cole, was always really good stuff. So he's really blossomed into a really savvy wordsmith, you know, and a different way that Jim Ross was. Jim Ross, you know, was very different, but I believe Michael Cole has done such a superb job at announcing, and it's something that everyone takes for granted, but that's what it's all about. If you don't know that it's there, it's working for you. When you notice, for example, as you like Brian Sexcastle, or Byron Sexton, as you say, when you know that it is flawed, you can tell immediately, and there is a huge void when that happens. Because if you don't notice the announcing and you get sucked into the story and the wrestling, that's awesome.
And but I thought he did a fine job in the Beast in the East special.
Well, and once again, Steven, you're segue king for today.
I'm so good.
You're so good. The Beast in the East, or From the East, Beast in the East, whatever the hell the show was called. Brock Lesnar.
Before this show. Right before this show, they did the album Dream Warriors for the Nightmare on Elm Street 3 soundtrack. Just try to remember.
I love Dokken. Right? We talked about Dream Warriors. That's awesome.
Don't want to dream no more.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. so a great guitar riff. Yeah, the event happened July. I guess technically it was July 4th, but it was July 3rd. I don't know what day, but it was July 4th weekend.
I don't know technically what day it is. Actually,
early in the morning, it was like brought to you at like 5. 5:30 a.m., something like that. But ridiculous time. Awesome, though, because initially this was supposed to be a Japanese, you know, international show. I believe they came from Singapore, ended up doing Tokyo. And then from there, the crew went back into Monday and didn't miss a beat. But it was great to see wrestling in Japan, special event in the wrestling hall there. And it was just an amazing event and one for me that I will watch again. This is.
Yeah, I watched that
total
again.
Total buy.
Yeah. A couple of things about this. You know, first of all, it was just a house show. And it all started because Masa Saito, one of the great Japanese wrestlers who's actually wrestled quite a bit in the United States, Brock Lesnar had heard about Saito's failing health and wanted to see him, possibly for the last time. So to make it a business trip, he said he would do a house show match. With that in mind, they're like, hey, Lesnar's going to be in a house show. They realize they have to get the belt off of Kevin Owens because he signed a main roster contract and needed to drop the belt to Finn Balor, who's essentially taking his spot in NXT, who would see him as the champ. So there you go. Let's create a special. And what's really cool is they like this a lot, and they're going to be doing a lot more of them from what I hear.
Great.
John Laurinaitis, before he was Big Johnny and John Laurinaitis, or even just Johnny Ace, the GM on the show, not just the GM on the show, but the guy for talent relations that people hated backstage. Long ago, Johnny Ace had tag teams in Japan with, I think it was, let's see, Gary Albright. He did a run with Stan Hansen and Dr. Death Steve Williams, all my favorite wrestlers. And actually one of my good wrestling friends, Beautiful Bruce, who maybe we should have on. I don't know if a lot of people remember him. He wrestled a lot in the IWA and in the States, and a great NWA wrestler.
Sure.
Was a good friend of Gary Albright, and Gary Albright passed away in the ring. Great wrestler. All those guys.
Which, by the way, was brought up in the Patriot interview that Stone Cold did this past week, which was great, by the way.
Wow. How about the Patriots Wahoo McDaniel story?
Amazing.
What a dangerous person to make upset.
I know. Well, that
I was bad when you made me upset.
Just another great podcast from Stone Cold, but okay. I digress.
We'll leave that for the podcast.
This is for Ted, but I digress.
Podcast. You will never hear that from me.
No, go ahead.
I forgot where I was at. Gary Albright.
So Gary Albright, yes.
Johnny Ace was a really good Japanese wrestler. He took part in a tag match. I think it was with Kobashi and Hansen, and he was somebody else. Was maybe Masao was. It was actually a 5-star rated Dave Meltzer match. Mm-hmm. So he knows the Japanese culture, and he's the one that put on this show. Essentially, just they did not shoot it. It was shot by a different company. I can't remember who it was. So they didn't have that zig and zag and camera stuff.
I liked it.
Yeah, me too. The streamers were Johnny Ace's idea. I think they got it over real strong. Bringing out Tatsumi Fujinami was a classy move.
Great. I mean, you know, legendary figure, Hall of Famer now. So
I believe Fujinami technically has one of those Ric Flair little titles. I think he actually did get the belt from Flair briefly, or at least they said he did in Japan, but they didn't in America. Fujinami, I can't remember the pay-per-view he's on. It's in 1991. It's right before Flair leaves. It's somewhere around May or March of 91. Fujinami against Flair. Really good match. Great pay-per-view.
That's why he inducted him to the Hall of Fame.
And they did induct him into the Hall of Fame. And he was a good choice for an international superstar. I think they needed to have a really strong... They have so many Japanese guys that need to go in, like Ricky goes in, and, you know.
Exactly. Well, expect more in the Hall of Fame next year, so.
I hope so. I mean, you know, the history, we were talking about Japanese wrestling, and it's kind of apropos that the Nakamura match was our match of the week last week.
Yes.
You know, and they were talking, you know, the King of Strong Style. Actually, in the first match, we saw a little bit, not too much, but a little bit of Strong Style from Jericho and Neville. I don't know if people know that Jericho has worked Strong Style, you know, before. And
yes.
Lionheart. Yeah, and he got in trouble when he first came to WWF working stiff with China and the Road Dog. You know, so him and Neville had what I thought was definitely the best damn Neville match I've seen. He really brought the best out of Neville. And I thought it was a great. I was shocked to see Neville job to a guy that only does house shows. I remember I asked you about a month ago if you thought he was going to put over Operation Dumbo Flop, but.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Well, I think they booked it that way because the Japanese audience hadn't seen Lionheart in a while, hadn't seen Jericho.
Yeah.
So, and Jericho pulled out all the stops. It was, as you said earlier in the pre-show before we recorded, I hit record, that it was Jericho's greatest hits. And it sure was. I mean, pulled out all the stops, the bulldog, the lion salt,
the arrogant cover.
Yeah. Come on, baby. You know, here we go.
And he kind of waved to the crowd like, oh, thank you. That's one of my old hits. It was just great.
Oh, of course. You know, I mean, he's, you know, and the crowd was eating it up. And the Japanese crowd, typically known to be very respectful, adopted a lot of American phrases saying, this is awesome. And, you know, calling for, you know, yeah. You know, let's go Neville, Y2J, let's go Neville, so it was really good, a great back and forth. And this to me, you know, is, as they say in the Taboo, you know, match of the year, but it was a good match. You know what I mean? It was a good match. I say that just to go back on our list, but
I'm on Scott Keith's blog of doom. I'm one of the many people that remark and leave comments on his news feed. There's a ton of them too. It's like a whole group. I'm actually called Dr. Deathmark on that. And they were asking, what would you rate that? And everybody, and I actually said 3.98 stars. I thought it was that good. About a four star match.
Nice.
And then I said, as for the squash match with Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar, I give 2.97 stars, which is the highest squash match rating you can give for a non-Midnight Express squash.
I love that.
The highest you can possibly give.
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. Yeah. Well, look.
Midnight Express could be three.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's a Midnight Express. No one touched that. Mm-hmm. But no one will dispute it either. The thing is with Brock was just the right amount of salt and pepper.
Right.
And Kofi Kingston worked his little ass off so that it was believable, compelling, a little bit of a comeback getting cut off, and then Brock doing three, I believe, suplex city, German suplexes, not overdoing it, just giving us just a taste.
We dropped him on a set on one, which I appreciated.
Which was, wow. I mean, when he folded him in half, I was sitting there with my wife, and I was like, oh my God, Brock just killed Kofi.
Well, he's a dangerous wrestler, man. You're going in there with a real Japanese strong style guy. That's why he's so over. That's why the Roman Reigns match was over. It was like strong style.
It was very snug, very strong, and awesome as well. I think the other match that I loved was the Finn versus KO match.
Right.
I mean, just as you said, all the intricacies that Johnny Ace put in there, you know, and I said this on one of the very first podcasts we did, you know, in Japan, the tradition of the championship matches where it matters, the flowers being brought to ringside to the combatants, the streamers, that's great. But, you know, to me, it's kind of bastardized in Ring of Honor. That's what I wanted to just, if you go back to one or two, the number one or number two of our shows, I said, you know, what's annoying to me, the streamers. And then you said, well, you know where they got it from, Al John, is Japan. It's like, I understand, but they overdo it.
Oh, in Ring of Honor?
Oh, in Ring of Honor, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I accused you of being sacrilegious.
Oh, no, no.
I did at the time, but I didn't understand what you meant.
That's what I meant.
That's the one damn time they've done that, ever, yeah. Really. And it really made it special, and that was a Johnny Ace idea, too, well, just so you know.
Brilliant move for, yes, it's a brilliant move for Johnny Ace to do that. Probably one of the best matches I've seen. And I say, and we've said that quite a bit, actually, when you look back, this year, has been an awesome year for wrestling.
They've had some great matches this year.
You know, having some great matches, you know, and a lot of great back and forth. The pomp and circumstance, Kevin Owens being disrespectful, throwing the flowers into the aisle, basically spitting on the Japanese fans, and the Japanese fans not sitting on their hands. They were very involved in this entire show, and the ambiance of seeing it in the Japanese wrestling hall as opposed to an American arena just made it that much cooler because they didn't have the shaky camera. They didn't do all this other stuff. To me, it was Bizarro World WWE. It was like, it was a great experience watching the show. Something different, something unique, different presentation, a lot more pared down because they didn't have the big LED screens and all the pyro and all the trussing and the lighting and all that. No pyro. It was a couple smoke machines, the LED screen, you know, and awesome wrestlers.
It was a great, and then the main event was boring, but, you know, after three great matches, I mean, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. John Cena is very over in Japan. He's still their top guy in Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Brock got the best reaction. Finn Balor as Prince Devitt was very over for many years in Japan, so that was very special in Fujinami, but John Cena is a ticket seller still.
And he sells a lot of merch. You see all that merch in the crowd?
Yeah, man, he sells a lot of merch. I mean,
all that merch.
When Cena jobbed to Owens, they did their business metrics a week later, and they were scared. They're like, holy shit, like, you know, things changed that quick when he jobbed. So that was still a pretty big thing for them to do. You know, it makes me wonder about the next Owens-Cena match a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But, you know, anyway, great show. Kevin Owens, probably the best wrestler in the United States right now, continues to have the best paper. He's had the best pay-per-view match. Is it three straight, his first three pay-per-views now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, who's done that? Who's come into an active roster, never been on national TV, national, and had the three best pay-per-view matches, 1, 2, 3, with the main event? That's what he's been doing.
Crazy.
Main guy, John Cena and Finn Balor, too. So really impressed and expect him to steal the show at the next pay-per-view. What is it called?
Battleground.
Bragging rights, train. Unforgiven.
First night only.
just one match only.
It'll be WWE first date. First date. A WWE cherry pop. That's what they call it. Right. So it's actually Battleground. No, I think it was once again a great show, definitely worth watching. Moving on to WWE Raw, highlight of the show, Brock Lesnar comes out and assaults a car.
That was the best thing on Raw. I mean, obviously they had a half hour long Cesaro match that everyone.
Oh, also very good.
Yeah, yes. Now, I like the last one a little more because I think 20 minutes is about how long you want to go with these two. But, will this lead to anything for Cesaro? I don't know. We know he's from the Swiss Alps.
You know, no one relates to him because he's Swiss, apparently, thanks to Vince.
Well, I think I know what he means.
Okay, please tell me what does he mean?
Okay.
A little difficult.
Tell me about Switzerland.
Right.
Do you know anything about it?
They make awesome hot chocolate.
Exactly. We don't know anything about Switzerland. They should have never pointed out he was Swiss, you know?
Well, it's kind of hard to avoid that accent of his when he talks.
That's another problem. I know what he means. I cannot explain it. I know that's the problem.
Well, Swiss. Well, if that's the problem, shouldn't they educate the people as to what this means and what people can expect, perhaps? Or maybe he should cut a promo on maybe how he's Swiss and what the Swiss people do and how they are. I will tell you this, the Swiss, one of the most fortified countries in the European nation, so you know.
Okay.
every man has a gun and a military uniform ready to defend its country at a moment's notice.
That's heavy. I think he's a Ring of Honor champion type of guy.
Yeah,
and right. He just doesn't have that Kevin Owens it factor, honestly. I don't know if it's a Swiss thing, but he doesn't have the it factor. That's what Vince should have said. The crowd likes him. There's a solid majority that gets behind him, but I don't know if that'll bring ticket sales up.
You know, I think maybe, well, you know, without using this, maybe taboo, but he's Benoit-like, perhaps.
The murderer, Benoit?
Oh, Christ. Let's move on, please. You made me feel like shit now, so let's move on.
The murderer?
Oh, dear Lord. This show has gone to complete shit. So, no, it hasn't. Look, WWE Raw, not too shabby.
Cesaro can get over.
Yeah.
But he's got to change his act up. Right. A little bit. It's not the Swiss thing. It's just there is a disconnect in some sense. I'm sure he's really popular. Like the female demographic, I'm sure, finds him very attractive. He does seem to be very handsome. I don't think he has that. Oh, Cesaro's in the main event of WrestleMania this year. It's going to draw a lot of money. That doesn't sound right.
Right.
That's what I mean. But if you say Kevin Owens is fighting The Undertaker It's like, oh, really? Well, how the hell are they going to do that? You know, that sounds like it could be. That's what I mean, I guess. I'm confused. They have 18 hours of shows combined up each week. It's hard to keep up with it. But Cesaro, I think, will fall prey to the Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus-itis, you know, whatever that's going around.
Oh, the mid-card-itis.
Where you go up and down and up and down, and you never go too low, but you get high. And the highest you can get is, I mean, he's jobbed two straight weeks. That's actually what he's done.
Yeah.
That's right. But wins and losses, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well. So WWE Raw was all right. I mean, it was an interesting show, to say the least.
Let me say one more thing, by the way.
Yeah, go for it.
Cesaro is nowhere nearly as good a worker as Benoit.
Oh, there you go.
I will say that. I don't think he's that good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it takes some time, you know, and, you know, go look at the Pegasus Kid. Look at it. Just do yourself.
No, I love Wild Pegasus.
Yeah. Yeah. Just Wild Pegasus. Yeah. Just go back and look at the Pegasus and, you know, it'll be all right. So Raw was pretty good. Brock Lesnar came out.
Who's better?
Who was better?
It was a better show than it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. It was better. Brock Lesnar totally. I thought Brock was going to hurt himself and someone else when he assaulted that car. The shenanigans continue. J&J security roll out all through the show. They're being shown around town. But here's the thing: they gave him that car last week's episode of Raw, but they were still around town with the car being tricked out in camouflage, but yet they still had the sticker on it. Come on, people. Come on. Are you kidding me here? Shoot the car from a different angle so it doesn't show the sticker, or at least take the damn sticker off, because the car got trashed anyway. You know what I mean?
Boy, did it.
So why keep the damn sticker on, production? Come on.
Let me tell you this. When Brock Lesnar pulled out some axes, though, I was like, oh, boy, this is dangerous.
It's getting real because he swung the axe with so much velocity, I thought that he was going to break and the axe head was going to go flying. And can you imagine what the hell would happen with a piece of metal flying through the air?
When he threw the car door, I saw the reverse shot from the crowd somebody had, and it pretty much hit right in the crowd, the front row of the crowd from that side. The plastic portion fell off of the door, but, you know, the kid didn't look like it bothered him too much. He looked pretty excited that kind of it had happened, but boy, oh boy, that looked dangerous.
Yeah, you never know.
Very strong.
You know, I went to a wrestling show and a Gallagher skit broke out and a car just was demolished in front of me and I almost got hit in the face with a windshield. That's awesome.
The kid looked excited, you know. Here, sign this piece of paper real quick while you're backstage. You see, that's what they do. They get them backstage and they go find some shit.
It was quite an interesting night for sure. I appreciated it. I thought it was a good effort. The complete results we can kind of gloss over. It's not a big deal, but I think
matches of fun.
yeah, a lot of fun. Women's match, all kinds of shenanigans. I mean, you know, we could break this all down. There are other podcasts that do that, but
they're going to do that women's crap for two more months. It's not September.
It's not. It's killing me right now. Really is.
It's going all summer like this.
Yeah, I mean, what is going on with R-Truth and Barrett? Because they were battling again, the two kings, the low popper. It's a low card feud, you know.
Low card feud, boring. King Barrett had basically jobbed every week, so they finally got him a win or two, and you know, gave Truth something to do. It's like they have to find something to do to fill up this time, and now they. I mean, if I were a big fan of Barrett or Truth, I guess I'd be excited they were on the show every week. But, well, they're sure burning somebody like me out on them. I'll tell you who I really don't like now is Dolph Ziggler and Lana and this whole thing. That's
well, that's something to talk about as well, because you had Ziggler Lana confronting Rusev and Summer Rae, which looks like to me the girls are going to go at it. But how is this going to work? Because Lana has very limited ring ability.
Quite. I don't think she has any ring ability, and I think the whole thing was that she wasn't going to ever get in the ring. So I don't know where this goes. She's dead in the water. They've killed her dead. Dolph Ziggler has actually lost heat. Rusev has lost heat. It's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster. The best, and you can't get it back. You can't. I guess you could have Lana go back to Rusev and they whatever, but it looks like his foot's better, and that seems too quick as well, by the way, but they've messed that whole damn thing up. They've really messed it up.
Last thing I wanted to get your take on was this. Sheamus and Roman Reigns. with a little bit of Bray Wyatt. I mean, well, do you have any idea what's going on with this? And is because we have Sheamus, who's a current Money in the Bank winner.
I have two comments to make that I've heard, and I hope to God neither one of these are true.
Go for it.
Sheamus will win the title, and Bray Wyatt and Reigns will feud for a significant amount of time, all the way possibly to WrestleMania.
Dear Lord.
Now let's pray that those aren't true.
Yeah, let's correct course on that.
That couldn't be true, right?
You just never know.
But I heard that Vince has the card laid out. Maybe one of the matches is Wyatt against Rain.
Perhaps.
That can't be right.
Who knows? We're looking forward to Battleground, and Battleground is going to be happening in just a few days. I'm going to go ahead and pull up what all we have Sunday. A few days away. Uh-huh. We'll be hopefully getting some comments regarding Battleground, but let's talk a little bit about your picks for Battleground as we move closer to the date. Right. We've got the United States. You see, I didn't say U.S. Championship belt. I said United You're States right, Championship. United States. I know. I'm getting produced right now.
What are you doing now?
You're gonna puke. Can you puke? Puke.
You're gonna get sick.
I'm gonna get sick.
Yeah.
So I love it. I got to put that on a soundboard. But United States Championship match, KO versus Cena. Who goes over on that?
KO goes over. Screw job. Kevin Owens, I think, dropped the NXT belt to get this belt. You might see Cena move into a god. I think the feud will end here. Actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think it'll end as well. And it looks like they may want to put Cena back in the championship contention again for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know,
whenever their ratings tank with Seth Rollins as champion, you can cut it any way you want, but that is what happened. Ratings with him as a chicken shit champion.
Well, they have had awesome opportunities to make him shine. Sure. You can still book him as a chicken shit heel, but he's got to be able to mount some kind of credible offense.
And not just Ben Neville.
Yeah. No, it has to be a credible guy. And you just didn't. I feel that they could have done a better job of booking him and telling the story that he actually is a sound, badass professional wrestler, technico, whatever you want to call it. But just make him. You know, but anyway, they have an opportunity. We'll see what happens, because he will have an opportunity to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against the Beast, Brock Lesnar. So what do you think is going to happen on that one?
Well, I hope Lesnar takes the belt back. There seem to be booking it that way. It really didn't do them any good having championship matches on the TV show. That was the biggest dig on Lesnar being champion. This all depends. Everything depends on what Vince's vision is for WrestleMania in, 8 months? Yeah. It all depends on what his vision is for that. We'll get a lot of clarification this month and next month on what he wants to do for then. Mm. I could see Lesnar winning the title and having a match with somebody. I just don't see him keeping on Rollins, though, because I think he's been a poor champion, honestly, drawing-wise. So
right.
I think the match will be one of the best matches of the year. That I can guarantee. I actually can guarantee that Owen Cena and then Lesnar Rollins might be the best pay-per-view since WrestleMania, if you rate it on like awesomeness and matches like we did with this last one. Those two will kill. The rest of the card I wasn't too excited about, though, if I recall.
Well, this should be a pretty decent match. You've got the tag team championships on the line, not exchanging hands, but they're on the line.
Right.
You've got yourself Primetime Players versus New Day, and that to me, I believe, will actually be a very exciting match.
I think it'll be a good match. I'd like to see New Day win the belts back. I understand that, you know, Darren Young is openly gay, which is great. It's a good time to put the belt on him for a cultural significant point of view. And Titus' dad of the year for whatever he did.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the two of them, the Primetime Players, have stepped up their game. They are, you know, very entertaining act. And I think the crowd loves them as well. You know, everybody wants to do millions of dollars. So,
But New Day's lost a lot of heat.
Yeah, you got to keep it on them. You definitely got to keep it on them. So I see, I feel like New Day could definitely go over in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I think Brock Lesnar may have a possibility of getting that championship. And
he was a good champion. chance.
Yeah, there's a good chance. And Kevin Owens is going to get that title from John Cena. Last but not least, another title's on the line for Battleground. The lines are drawn in the triple threat match with the big guy versus the big show versus the big mouth. So who wins here? Show, Miz, Ryback? Does Ryback retain? Because I feel that he probably will.
Ryback's been getting tremendous reactions at the house shows, surprisingly enough, as Intercontinental Champion. So I feel like he'll retain. He'll pin the big show and retain.
Yep, I agree. Miz is still doing great work, by the way. Very heelish. I do love his character. I'm a big fan of the Miz. And by the way, Miz doing a great job of hosting the Tough Enough after show. And
which is a little better than the Tough Enough show, which has kind of been a bomb.
Yeah, Tough Enough.
The ratings way down too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about what's going on in Tough Enough. All I know is that I do watch it. I think it's mildly entertaining, but the after show is definitely more entertaining than the regular show.
Hmm.
I think it's just no holds barred, you know, at that point. It's not on the network, so they can let things, they're a little bit looser in that regard. WWE Battleground is happening once again. Mark your calendars for July 19th.
Yeah. It
should be a killer show. As we look into the rest of the world and wrestling news this week, Steven, you have a couple other tidbits you wanted to add on for this week?
Just that Global Force is moving along with their incredibly exciting invasion. you know, I understand that Eric Young has stolen the King of the Mountain belt or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I understand TNA is still on TV, so that's good.
oh, my God.
Dixie Carter is back as babyface. Owner, and we'll introduce none other than Bully Ray as the GM next week, which will probably begin the last few months of this show. It's boring to me. Lucha Underground, they may actually be close to signing something, but I'm not really sure, and nobody knows anything yet. They're tentatively telling the wrestlers to set up for September. Hopefully that goes down. I guess their season finale is coming up pretty, is it in August maybe, early August?
Mm-hmm.
But if they have another season, they'll probably take a good 5-6 month break. Yeah. And Ring of Honor, Austin Aries is going to be in the main event in Las Vegas. Is that correct?
It's a former two-time Ring of Honor world champion Austin Aries just accepted the matchmaker Nigel McGuinness's offer to replace Mr. ROH Roderick Strong on the six-man Vegas wildcard main event Friday, July 17th, just 7 days away from when we're recording. Not only will he be featured on his return to Ring of Honor in this huge main event, Aries feels that he's been stifled long enough and is still scheduled to deliver his impact statement to Ring of Honor fans. How about that? Yeah, that was, by the way, the Ring of Honor press release they issued.
Oh, they're fucking around. They probably, if I were them, I wouldn't even mention them. You know,
And they really didn't, but they did take a dig. We've attempted to reach out to undisputed ROH World and World Television Champion Jay Lethal, as well as manager Truth Martini, but neither has returned calls. Lethal has been feeling under the pressure with everyone gunning for him and the championships. What are Lethal's thoughts on the arrogant former two-time champion Aries returning and being named his partner? Aries will also be facing off against another former two-time ROH champion in Jay Briscoe, who's hungry to retain the ROH World Heavyweight Champion and become the first time three-time champion. What is Moose's opinion of the change? According to advisor Stokely Hathaway, it is of no consequence who our partners are. Victories are the only thing that really matters. Can Briscoe and Castle and O'Reilly overcome the now immense odds? Must see only begins to describe this amazing main event. Happening in Las Vegas, doors open at 6, bell time. Vegas wildcard main event, undisputed world heavyweight and TV champion Jay Lethal, Austin Aries and Moose versus Jay Briscoe, Dalton Castle and Kyle O'Reilly. This should be a badass show.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me, my friend. I'd buy it.
Yeah, me too.
All kinds of great talent in the ring. Should be one for the ages there.
And I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Roderick Strong go to New Japan someday soon. You know, that wouldn't surprise me either.
I agree.
He would be great for them. I would hurt Ring of Honor at this point a lot, but what can you do?
I think it's good stuff. Let's keep our fingers crossed for Lucha Underground that they find a home relatively soon. And it'll keep me loving the fact that Vampiro and Matt Stryker are actually a really good broadcasting duo. And
they're
continue
great.
To do great television. Let's wrap this sucker up. Steven, any other final thoughts before we launch into our surprise promo? Because we hadn't even talked about a promo or a match this week, but we'll figure something out. I'll let you think about it. Any other tidbits to think about for this week?
Obdurate recalcitrance. I keep saying it. Obdurate recalcitrance. That's how you say it.
Okay, so that's going to be our promo of the week. I'm going to try to find it.
You might as well. Because I can't see.
And for the match of the week,
Nick Bockwinkle against...
We'll find a Nick Bockwinkle match and call it a day.
I would say Nick Bockwinkle against Curt Hennig.
Oh, that's good.
The best damn Curt Hennig match I've ever seen. I believe it's from January 1st, 1987 in Las Vegas. I may be wrong about that, but it's fucking awesome.
Well, you get that kind of physique from Nick Bockwinkle, and of course the technical wrestling of a one Mr. Perfect.
Well, watch real closely. Nick Bockwinkle blows him up.
Really?
Oh yeah. Nick Bockwinkle's the shit. I don't just.
Oh, I know. He's got a great physique, and he had a great personality as well. He's
in his 40s in this match too, you know.
I'll have to go back and revisit this match. It's hard for me to think that Mr. Perfect would get blown up.
Well, Greg Gagne said that in a story in the Curt Hennig DVD, actually.
Well, that's wild, because once again, you know, it was Vern that trained Mr. Perfect, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if that's true.
Is that really? Well, he. Oh,
because okay. He was a little late in the game. But, you know, his dad was Larry Hennig, so it kind of makes sense that Vern would. I don't know about that. That's a great question. I'm not sure about that.
I thought that was the case. Well, let's research. Let's research it, and we'll come back with another show.
I tell you what, research as usual.
AWA research. Once again, you know, it doesn't happen very often that we stumped the wrestling historian, but I have to look it up. I'll have to look that up myself. But once again, thank you so much for tuning in. Nick Bockwinkle in this episode, and we are gonna talk next time when we talk to the show. We'll probably do something really cool. It's talking about the best modern angles. We will talk about that in an upcoming show, so please be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, for Stephen Anthony, our heel commentator, don't forget to support us. Go to ProWrestlingCast.com, like and subscribe our show, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Leave us those comments. We will read them on the following show. Leave your comments on our YouTube show below. Like and subscribe to our show as well. ProWrestlingCast.com. That's the place you need to bookmark. And we will check you all out next week. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you next time. Adios. Four Horsemen.
Promo of the week.
I'm telling you, my socks shocked off. I can't believe it. The Crusher to be in the corner of Mad Dog Vachon, Nick Bockwinkle.
Now, a week ago, I protested the fact that Mad Dog Vachon was being given a second opportunity to fight and to wrestle for the heavyweight championship of the world. It is 1 week later, and only to make a bad situation even worse, is that Stanley Blackburn has approved of none other than the Crusher. Now, as far as I am concerned, when you talk about obdurate recalcitrants, people who think because they are liked by the masses and the crowd that they can be allowed to get away with whatever they want, to do whatever they want, it is entirely a sickening, a pathetic day. I have no idea what you're thinking about Stanley Blackburn or Wally Carver, except one thing. For Christmas, you'd like nothing better than to have me dethroned as a heavyweight champion of the world. We know what the Mad Dog would like to do to me, and we know one other thing. That the Crusher would like nothing more than to take his scalp and put it on his belt. Now you tell me what they're trying to do to the heavyweight champion.
I'll tell you exactly what they're trying to do. I'm Oasis's manager. I've set out suspensions. I've been fined. I've been put into matches. I've done everything Blackburn and Carbo have asked of me. Now all of a sudden, Mad Dog Vachon, because he's incapable of becoming the world champion on his own, he goes down to some bar in Milwaukee and brings this maniac back to sit in the corner. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. Dog don't know what he's going to do. Crusher don't know what he's going to do. What if he tries to tear me apart, drag me all over that place? How can this man here concentrate on a championship match? It's not fair.
Gentlemen, they say the man's sorry. No, Christmas, that is a home. is going to be a barn burner to say the least. Happy holidays. We'll see you next time out.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.